Research. Drug slows type 1 diabetes in young people. Research has shown that an existing drug, verapamil, slowed the progression of type 1 diabetes in newly diagnosed children and adolescents. The clinical trial found that a daily tablet of verapamil in young people newly diagnosed with type 1 up to a year after their diagnosis slowed the rate of the destruction of the insulin-producing beta cell. This was measured by C-peptide levels produced at the same time as insulin, which were 30% higher in the group who were given verapamil than the control group who received a placebo. Verapamil is an inexpensive and widely used drug used to treat high blood pressure. It is available on the NHS to treat heart conditions like angina and irregular heart rate by improving blood flow to the heart. In the study, the children were split into two groups. One group received a daily verapamil pill for a year, and the other group took a daily placebo pill. The dose for each participant was dependent on their weight. 88 children aged 8 to 17 years were involved and started taking verapamil within 31 days of being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Throughout the study, the participants had their HbA1c measured as well as taking two-hour mixed meal tolerance tests to measure their C-peptide levels. They also wore continuous glucose monitors, CGMs, to assess the time their blood glucose levels were in target range. The researchers also checked their participants' blood pressure, heart health, and liver function throughout the study, as these are known side effects of verapamil. They described the drug as well tolerated, meaning that most of the participants didn't experience any of these side effects. The researchers are recruiting participants for a further study which involves taking verapamil once a day for a year, this time for people aged between 18 and 44 years who have been diagnosed within the previous 6 weeks. Research shows that by the time someone is diagnosed with type 1, their immune system has destroyed around 80% of their beta cells, but preserving 30 to 40% of the beta cells is probably enough to prevent someone needing insulin treatment at all. Even keeping just 5% of beta cell function makes managing glucose levels and avoiding hypos easier. This is similar to the honeymoon period that some people experience in the first months after their diagnosis of type 1.
No decline in quality of life for adults with diabetic retinopathy. According to a study carried out in Finland, adults with long-standing type 1 diabetes and proliferative diabetic retinopathy had worse functional vision than people without diabetes, but no decline in quality of life was observed from 2007 to 2019. The researchers looked at information from a follow-up of people with type 1 diabetes since childhood, and found that those with diabetes had worse central and peripheral visual field sensitivity compared with controls, but those with diabetes did not report a decline in vision-related quality of life from 2007 to 2019. Adults with long-standing type 1 diabetes and proliferative diabetic retinopathy had a 1.5% decline in HbA1c from 2007 to 2019 with no negative impact on quality of life. The researchers wrote in the published study that despite severe diabetic retinopathy and 35-year duration of type 1 diabetes in this group, the proper visual function and good quality of life seem to remain. They suggest that this is probably due to good glycemic control and the beneficial effects of modern glucose monitoring systems and modern treatment of advanced retinopathy with intravitreal anti-VEGF agents. Of the group with type 1 diabetes in 2019, 7% had visual impairment. 1. 17% had additional diabetic macular edema. 2. 57% had intravitreal hemorrhages. Anti-VEGF agents were used to successfully treat those with diabetic macular edema, and anti-VEGF injections were given to those with vitreous hemorrhages. 3, the use of using flash glucose monitoring, Freestyle Libre, increased from 0% in 2007 to 76% in 2019. And 4, average HbA1c decreased from 9%. Average HbA1c decreased from 9.5% in 2007 to 8% in 2019, and there were no changes in HDL or LDL cholesterol and triglycerides. The researchers observed slight decreases in quality of life for sleep, usual activity, discomfort and symptoms and sexual activity in 2019 compared with 2007. However, quality of life scores for mobility and distress improved from 2007 to 2019, and there was no change for vision-related quality of life. There was also no difference in overall quality of life score between 2007 and 2019.
Young people with Down syndrome are 4 times more likely to have diabetes. Down syndrome is when babies are born with an extra chromosome. This usually happens by chance because of a change in the sperm or egg before birth. This change does not happen because of anything anyone did before or during pregnancy. Recent research by Queen Mary University of London and King's College London has shown that children and young adults with Down syndrome are 4 times more likely to be diagnosed with diabetes. For the first time, this study looked at the incidence of diabetes and obesity in just under 10,000 people with Down syndrome and nearly 40,000 without, using data from 1990 to 2020.
Researchers found, 1, children aged 5 to 14 with Down syndrome have a 10 times greater chance of having type 2 diabetes than children without the condition. 2, people with Down syndrome are typically diagnosed with diabetes much earlier. The average age of diagnosis was 38 years old compared to 53 in those without the condition. And 3, people with Down syndrome were found to have a higher body mass index, reaching its peak at an earlier age, which means a greater risk of type 2 diabetes at a younger age. Genetics and excess body weight are thought to be the primary reasons behind this. The above findings suggest that the annual health checks for children with Down syndrome need to more closely monitor for excess weight, obesity, and early signs of diabetes to diagnose diabetes as early as possible because of their susceptibility and the risk of complications that can occur later in life. There is also an increased risk of type 1 diabetes due to extra chromosomes and issues with the immune system in those with Down syndrome. Further research is being conducted to look into how genetics affects a person with Down syndrome's predisposition to diabetes and obesity.
Associations between average HbA1c, HbA1c variability, and both mortality and macrovascular complications. Both low, that's 6%, and high, that's 8%, levels of glycemic control, HbA1c, are associated with increased all-cause mortality and diabetes-related macrovascular complications. Glycemic variability is independently associated with increased risk for these outcomes. Therefore, patients with stable glycemic level of 6 to 8% are at lower risk of all-cause mortality and diabetes-related macrovascular complications.
Girls with type 1 diabetes have worse outcomes compared with boys. In the last newsletter, we included a short piece showing reporting that at diagnosis and after treatment began, girls with diabetes were more likely to have higher HbA1c's compared with boys. The differences between girls and boys can partially be put down to puberty, but this does not explain the differences in younger children. It is thought that the differences in this age group may be due to the distribution of fat, insulin resistance, behavioural factors, growth hormone and the early influence of sex steroids. The researchers searched literature up to June 2021 and identified 90 case control studies involving 643,217 people. These studies included assessment of diabetes, sex characteristics, sex distribution, and children and or adolescents with type 1 diabetes. Most studies showed the following. 1. A higher HbA1c for girls at diagnosis and during treatment compared with boys, with a steeper HbA1c increase over time among girls. 2. Many studies also showed a higher BMI, a higher prevalence of overweight or obesity, and a higher prevalence of dyslipidemia among girls. 3. Hypoglycemia and partial remission occurred more often in boys, whereas diabetic ketoacidosis and hospitalisation occurred more often among girls. 4. Girls used pump therapy more frequently than boys and needed higher insulin doses compared with boys. And 5. There were more comorbidities among females than males, including thyroid disease and celiac disease, and all studies reported a lower quality of life among females. Researchers concluded that these differences suggest a less favourable clinical profile for young female individuals, with potential consequences later in life.
Stigma and bias still exist. For people who have lived with diabetes for many years, we are aware of the stigma and bias that has surrounded diabetes, but perhaps it is surprising to learn that this is still the situation. A survey carried out by Abbott Laboratories of 1,500 people shows that UK population has a good understanding of the impact of diabetes. 76% associated diabetes with insulin, and 40% associated it with testing blood sugar levels. However, there was a difference. 80% of the general public claim they have never witnessed diabetes stigma, but 73% of people with diabetes have seen stigma associated with their condition, especially on social media, TV, and online. In addition, 24% of people with diabetes agree that stigma and unconscious bias can lead to negative effects on their emotional well-being and health outcomes. Unconscious bias is when the general public are unaware of the stigma experienced by people with diabetes. Stigma is created by lack of knowledge and fear of the unknown, which can make people react negatively. The survey highlighted the effects of stigma on people who live with diabetes. 1. More than 1 in 5 people with diabetes are left feeling self-conscious about their condition, with a third believing that the way the public speaks about diabetes has a negative impact on their emotional well-being. 2. 96% of people with diabetes surveyed with type 1 or type 2 believes people assume they are overweight and that their condition was caused by their lifestyle, 64%, and lack of exercise, 49%. 3. 78% of members of the public associate lack of exercise with type 2 diabetes. As we know, certain lifestyle factors are known to increase the risk of type 2 diabetes, but the causes for every person are different and complex. And 4, 29% of the British public inaccurately believe that people with diabetes should only consume low-sugar meals, while 76% believe people with type 2 diabetes should give up sugar altogether. This misunderstanding regarding sugar consumption may fuel the unconscious bias behind the stigma and blame felt by those living with diabetes.
A simple thing that many readers will have experienced is, should you be eating that? But people with diabetes can also experience exclusion at work and socially. This can lead to feelings of blame and judgment, which in turn can significantly affect emotional well-being and can create barriers to people being involved with their care and treatment. As a result of the survey, Abbott has launched a new campaign in the UK, Let's Change Perspective. This includes a new tool, the Let's Change Perspective Guide, which aims to empower everyone to challenge diabetes stigma in the moment in various situations, such as in work or hearing a joke or a hurtful comment about diabetes.